President Trump tweeted this morning, his 200th day in office, that he's hard at work at a summer home in New Jersey while he's on vacation and the White House is being renovated. But John Harwood of CNBC pointed out that that hard work included a flurry of tweets, nine before 9 a.m., in which the president used the words fake, failing, phony, inept, lied, defrauded, con artist, child, and baby to describe others, while insisting his base is bigger and stronger than ever before. Let's preview the week ahead in politics. Politics with Scott Horsley, NPR White House reporter, who joins us from Bedminster, New Jersey, where the president's golf club is located, where he's staying. Hi, Scott.
Robin, good to be with you.
And we'll get to that flurry of tweets, but President Trump did speak with the president of South Korea last night after North Korea vowed revenge against those newly imposed U.N. sanctions. What came out of that phone call, in that diplomatic move? Serious business there.
This is very serious indeed, and you're right. It follows the unanimous vote by the U.N. Security Council over the weekend to impose stiff new economic sanctions on North Korea in response to its ongoing nuclear and missile tests. That was a significant accomplishment for the Trump administration, winning the unanimous support of the Security Council, including especially China, which is North Korea's number one trading partner. In fact, Mike McFaul, the former Russia ambassador in the Obama administration, congratulated the Trump team for getting that unanimous support. He called it a genuine foreign policy accomplishment. So in his conversation with Moon Jae-in, President Trump committed to enforcing those sanctions and to leaning on other members of the international community to do the same.
Okay. We want to get your take on the dust-up over the Vice President, Mike Pence, over the weekend, who some would say went to unusual lengths to deny that New York Times story yesterday. It said that he was among the Republicans maneuvering to run in 2020 without Donald Trump. Pence issued a formal statement of denial on a White House letterhead. And advisor Kellyanne Conway denied the story on ABC. She then had this to say about President Trump's poll numbers and agenda.
His approval rating among Republicans and conservative and Trump voters is down slightly. It needs to go up. They are telling him, just enact your program. Don't worry about a Congress that isn't supporting legislation to get big ticket items done. And don't worry about all the distractions and diversions and discouragement that others who are still trying to throw logs in your path are throwing your way.
So should President Trump, though, worry about Mike Pence?
Yeah, Kellyanne Conway, a pollster herself, acknowledging some erosion in the president's support, even among solid GOP voters. But, you know, the thing that was striking was how over the top the vice president's response was. He issued this statement calling the New York Times story disgraceful and offensive, even though that story was careful to note that Pence has done nothing in public to distance himself from this president. In fact, on the contrary, he has been an outspoken and loyal supporter of Donald Trump's. However, the vice president has set up an independent fundraising committee. He has named a political operative to his White House team. And the Times said Pence staffers have been telling some GOP donors the vice president wants to be ready should there be an opening in 2020. Now, that's not particularly remarkable, really, for someone in Pence's position, but he works for a president who values loyalty above all else, and so Pence went out of his way to avoid angering the president.
Well, there's been a lot of heat coming from that NRA recruitment ad that spokeswoman Dana Loesch put out on Friday. It slams the New York Times. Let's listen.
This untrustworthy, dishonest rag that has subsisted on the welfare of mediocrity for one, two, three more decades. We're going to laser focus on your so-called honest pursuit of truth. In short, we're coming for you.
You know, coming from an organization that has guns, that was pretty startling. How's that being viewed?
Yeah, well, the NRA no longer has to worry about beating back gun safety legislation as it did during the Obama era. And so it's really gone on the offensive. And what we're seeing here is kind of the evolution of the NRA from a targeted gun rights organization into a broader player, a broader combatant in the culture wars. We saw this back in April when President Trump addressed the NRA convention down in Atlanta. He was the first sitting president to do that since Ronald Reagan. And Wayne LaPierre, the NRA leader, said at the time they were on the warpath against what he called three enemies: academic elites, political elites, and media elites. That sounds very much in line with the way the president has positioned himself. And there's nothing concealed about the political weapon that the NRA is wielding here.
Yeah. Scott Horsley, NPR White House reporter. Scott, thank you.
Good to be with you, Robin.